Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, Britain and the European Union. Sometime this year, the voters of Britain will head to the polls to decide whether they wish to remain in the European Union or leave. We'll explain what's at stake in a moment, but first, the background.
If this is the idea, the end of Britain as an independent nation state, I make no apology for repeating it, the end of 1,000 years of history.
Yes, the Commission does want to increase its powers. Yes, it is a non-elected body, and I do not want the Commission to increase
its powers. They may not make our task impossible, but they will place yet one more obstacle along our road.
Britain has always had a slightly standoffish relationship with the rest of Europe. Maybe it's thanks to the English Channel. Brits still tend to refer to Europe as the continent, as if they're not actually part of it. There's also the legacy of empire. If a quarter of the map was once pink, pooling your sovereignty with other European nations, particularly the French, can feel like a bit of a comedown. So when six European nations, France, Germany, Italy and the Benelux countries, got together to launch the European Steel and Coal Community after the end of the Second World War, the UK politely declined.
L'Europe ne se fera pas d'un coup, ni dans une construction d'ensemble.
The group took off, building closer links between the six economies and expanding its remit. The UK tried to join in the early 60s, but French President Charles de Gaulle blocked the application. Anglo-French antipathy has always gone both ways. It would take another decade before the UK was allowed in. A referendum was held in 1975 to ratify the politicians' decision. It passed 2-1 in favour. The following 40 years have hardly been smooth sailing, marked by an underlying scepticism of the whole project. Britain has had a transactional relationship with the EU. Brits don't tend to feel European, it's not an automatic part of their identity. But until relatively recently, the idea of leaving the EU was one voiced only by those on the fringes.
Just look at these faces. Look at the fear. Look at the anger. They're beginning to understand that the game is up. And yet, in their desperation to preserve their dream, they want to remove any remaining traces of democracy from the system.
Two things have changed, both linked. One, anti-Europeanism has become an article of faith for the right, be they in the Conservative Party or the anti-EU UKIP. The other is an increase in immigration, predominantly from Eastern Europe. These two factors have changed the nature of the debate. David Cameron felt the need to promise a referendum once, he said, the terms of the relationship had been renegotiated.
I'm not satisfied with the status quo we've got in Europe, and the things I want fixed are big and important changes, and I think it's vital that we achieve them.
But that renegotiation has been tricky. Asking for too much runs the risk of failing to get enough changes. Asking for too little may not appease enough Eurosceptic voters. A compromise has been found, and at some stage in the coming weeks or months, Cameron should be able to wave his piece of paper. There'll be some sort of deal on benefits paid to migrants from elsewhere in the EU, perhaps a suggestion of language change in a future treaty, a promise that members outside the euro will still have a say on economic policy. Yet all of this comes when the EU is facing its two biggest crises since the Second World War, the huge flow of refugees and the ongoing continent-wide financial disaster. Throughout them both, the UK has been on the sidelines. So what will happen? I guess the UK will vote to stay in, just. And that will be the right decision. The European Union is the UK's largest trade partner. In a world that's more interconnected than ever before, it's arguably the most influential multinational organisation. For us, there's no question. Britain is better in the European Union, and the European Union is better for having Britain as a member. But even if Britain does remain in the EU, something will have been lost thanks to this debate. At a time when Britain could have been leading in Europe, it's been absent. The gap between Britain and the continent has never felt wider. That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. This week, we're discussing Germany's response to refugees. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.